This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the Fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the foam marble table, as always, Rashawn Taylor.
What up, though?
And across the glass, Jordan Schultz.
I think I'm 1-for-10 in sports bets for the NCAA tournament. It's been a pretty rough one for me. But hey, happy Sunday, guys.
Yeah, happy Sunday indeed.
Yeah, great Sunday, Jordan.
Yeah, woo!
I'm ruining my life, but I'm having a good time doing it.
1-800 gamblers. No, I'm fine. It's like we're talking $70 of a loss here, but it's not fun. It's a fleeting
ruin. Cool, right?
Never cool to lose $70, though. Just being honest, if you just drop $70 on the street,
you're not
pretty
wrong.
Pissed. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Friday, Thursday, and Friday. 1080 The Fan was up at A-Lin-A. Great little time up there on Friday.
Got to play some blackjack on Thursday with Cooley.
Yeah, it was Odyssey Portland. Took a little bus from here to there on Friday.
I always feel so bad I can never make it.
Yeah, I don't know if you see the emails. You're all. I don't know if actually Cooley even sent out an email.
There
about
was
that,
no.
But,
I didn't see anything. An email. There was no bracket this year. I mean, we got people busy.
Oh yeah, we did no office bracket this year. Well, Cooley ran that last year and. He now has a few more responsibilities.
Point of transition, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, he had a couple more things to do. But, yeah, we were up at Fan Madness
up at A-Line on Friday.
Which is always a good time.
Yeah, being at a sports book during one of the biggest events. I feel like March Madness is probably the best sports book event.
Hell yeah.
I think you want to be there. You know, there are some events like Super Bowl.
That's a one-off thing, though. March Madness, you get you can squeeze a few days out of that.
Yeah, I mean, like Thursday, Friday, the initial madness itself. Oh, I mean, that's the best days, I think, to be out there. What other sporting event? It's like, oh, dude, we got to get to the sports book for that. Bro,
I got
to put a ticket in.
It's one-off events. If there's anything, like if they have a fight or something like that, you know, like that's a big fight, something noteworthy. Kentucky Derby is always one of the ones that are really good.
Come on, Biscuit!
So we talk about Circa, and we talked about Stadium Swim, and I got a chance to see the Kentucky Derby there, like when I went to Vegas for my 40th
birthday.
Stadium
Swim?
And so I got a chance to be there, and you can place a bet there It was pretty cool to, like, you know, everybody's chilling, then all of a sudden everybody's attention just right there for that, like, 13 seconds.
What's the line about the Kentucky Derby? The
best 13 seconds
of your life.
Something along those lines.
I've heard that a lot.
I don't even know if it's 13
former
seconds.
Girlfriends.
Yeah.
Coming around the corner.
Have you ever been to a Kentucky Derby party?
Oh, no. There's one in Newburgh that I wanted to go to last year out at a distillery out there. And they do, it's a bourbon distillery.
So no mint jubiles there.
Mint juleps?
Well, juleps, excuse me. Yeah.
Jubiles.
Juleps, yeah.
Some jubilee.
Yeah.
Mint juleps, yes, are being had there. And they have a hat contest. I think I brought this up last year, is that they have a Kentucky Derby winning horse out there sometimes for people to, like, you know, look, hey, there's Giacomo.
That's pretty tight.
I'm sure they know what they're doing. They're just sitting there looking at people.
Well, and I was trying to figure out last year if there's a way somehow that I could get some of Giacomo's, lineage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could start my own line of studs.
Hey, man, that's big money, though. You got to really have.
I was going to say, millions.
Yeah, you got to have billions-type money to be in the racing business.
They're creepy.
Well, I think that's a great start right there.
Yeah, seriously. You get a little out of man juice and make your own. You know
I got
saying?
A little vial of Giacomo here. Any interested takers?
Do you really look into that? Because it is a creepy. It's like.
Into sneaking and stealing?
No, not stealing it, but buying it. It is about 1,000 times weirder than, like, you think the art world's weird.
Can you actually buy the stuff without buying the horse?
Yes, it is literally millions.
Yeah.
Or hundreds of thousands. It's a crazy penny.
I thought you just... Oh, I guess that's what they do, though. They'll, like, pay the trainer or whoever owns the horse and be like, hey, throw them in a trailer and drive out to, you know,
is there a weirder job than the person that has to
horse
get
breeding?
The specimen for horse breeding or like bull breeding? Is there a weirder job?
Oh, like do it themselves or like?
The actual, like, where do you apply for that? Like, is that just something because you breed the horses or you raise the bulls, like you do it on your own? Like, I'm saying, like, that's a weird job to have.
I think you were born on the farm, frankly.
Yeah, I think you're a horse person for a while, and you just know how to do that. And then
Mama taught you, and then, you teach your kid.
Hey, I got a guy down in Alabama, one of the best horse breeders I've ever met, all right? He'll get you taken care of.
That's not a part of the job I want to do.
Tom Hanks today?
It's not a part of the job I want to do.
Now, listen here.
I agree with you, Rashad.
Fastest 2 minutes in sports.
You couldn't
fastest
pay me that.
Fastest 2 minutes in sports.
Okay. But yeah, there's a party at this distillery. I wanted to go last year, and luckily I didn't because it was pissing rain the day of the Kentucky Derby, too. So everybody that was out there got rained on, and their fancy hats got soaked.
Yeah, that's never the best. If you go to a Kentucky Derby party in Portland, make sure it's inside. Like, I mean, because it's this weather here, you never know. You can look outside, and it's beautiful for a second, and then all of a sudden these clouds come and completely ruin your day. So I understand. But, Kentucky Derby falls around my birthday every year. And so I'm like, I always want to have a Kentucky Derby-like party. You know, something about the obnoxious hats and kind of loud suits and stuff like that are always have always kind of been fun to me. I care less about horse racing or the Derby or the Preakness or any of that stuff.
It's kind of like this week. People caring about March Madness and Nobody college
cares.
Basketball.
Nobody cares.
No one's watched throughout the entire year.
I'm a Creighton fan now. I've been watching Kalkbrenner all year. No, you haven't.
I guess the one thing about college that's kind of tight is, you know, that's definitely tight is this part of the year, these 60, you know, four teams, they get to really rep their schools. Like these, all these, you know, whether if you make the tournament, like that's huge, you know, just to be able to be at the dance. So even if you're a 16 or you're playing in the first four or whatever the case is, like all that attention on your small program, if that's the case, like that's huge. That exposure piece for you. Cause I'm looking at names in the program now. I'm like, who? McNeese? Like what?
Oh, I feel like what's there's, that? Yeah. 2 to 4 schools a year where I'm just like, you just made that up. You aren't real.
But all of a sudden, you want them to do well. There's something about the team was like, man, it'd be nice to see you win.
For
sure. That would be pretty cool. Like if you won, I know nothing about you and don't know where you are, Drake. You know, or you know, for a long time didn't know where Creighton was. Like, what is that? Where
like
is that?
Lipscomb? I have no idea that existed as a school, but yeah. they are real.
High Point University, that
High
was
Point
one of
has
them.
Another one, yeah.
Thank you.
Apparently, High Point University has a sick campus. There's pools everywhere. I don't know if it's like swimmable pools, but I think it's in one of the Carolinas. If I'm not mistaken.
I mean, the fact that Grand Canyon University, which I'm pretty sure is mostly an online school, has a college basketball team now, like, that's pretty nuts.
That's pretty awesome. Online schools, yeah.
High Point is in North Carolina.
I'm going to jump on DeVry's team. I think I still got some eligibility.
Well, I was looking up, like, Liberty's numbers the other day, and it's like they have 21,000 on-campus students, I want to say, but 80,000 online students.
Gotcha.
That's okay. Crazy. Like, Western Oregon has, like, 7, 8. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's not a lot of people, probably more than that, but I don't know. Western Oregon's not a big, big school.
Let's see here. Oh, I'm looking up Grand Canyon University. Yeah, but 100,000 students enrolled online and in person.
That's crazy.
And then, I'm pretty sure that it's somewhat same numbers for the Fightin' Jerry Falwells of Liberty.
Where was the online degree when we were in school?
Oh,
like, what the hell?
There, it was that one dude who was yelling at you on the commercial. Was that Everest College?
Oh, my gosh, man.
You're sitting there on your couch doing nothing. That. Why don't you do something with your life?
Smoking
sign
that
up
trash
for Everest
weed,
College.
Sitting there just doing nothing about
watching the Maury Show.
Wait,
bro, always yes. Don't shame me because I'm at home watching Maury right now at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Don't.
Like, I'm living my best life, sir.
Whoa.
All right.
Remember the college? It was on the top floor of the Lloyd Center. Look how far
Apollo
your mind
College
can take.
I actually, you want to hear something funny?
With Apollo College,
I went to Apollo College.
Hell yeah.
So I honestly, that's where I met my son's mom, was at Apollo College, you know, when we both went there. So I worked for Freightliner when I moved back from Las Vegas for about a year. And within that year, they decided we're going to close down this shop. So we're not going to do that. So we're going to give people money to go back to school or do whatever. I'm like, great, you know, go back and finish my degree and I'll, you know, go do that part. And they're like, whoa, 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 we're thinking more like a trade school, like International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers or something like that.
Is that a real
and I was
thing?
Like, what?
International
Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Yeah,
yes,
IBEW. Yeah.
What's up, brother?
Electrician brother?
There's
no,
a NECA IBU, the NECA IBEW, the local Electrical Brothers.
IBU.
Yeah, yes. So, no, seriously, they're
it's a dead serious.
They're deep, and that's where they, you know, if you're going to want to be an electrician or if you're, you know, in the business or something like that, they kind of, it's like they're, what's the word I'm looking for? The union, or
yeah,
you know,
it's a unionized.
So, sorry, I took your story away.
No, but that's what. But they were kind of like, we want you to kind of go more that way. And I was sitting there, I was like, I don't want to do that. But I was really bored. I was getting like an unemployment check that was pretty nice every week, but I was still super, super bored. It's like, man, I want something to do. Let's just go.
You're sitting on your couch,
not doing nothing. He was right. Like it was right. He got me that day. Like all of a sudden, he was right, and
guilty.
I was like, I had to get up and do something. And so I got up and just went to go get some information from a bunch of different places. Went there and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, learned about pharmacy and pharmacy tech, and got my license in that just cause. Like, and then didn't do it. I went and worked in the pharmacy for like 3 weeks. And then I was like, yeah, I don't like this, man. And only because, like, knowing the system and learning about insurance and all that stuff like that, you know what kind of, it's kind of shady, super shady. And so I'm seeing, like, old people come in that have absolutely, they're all, the term is fixed income. Like, I only have, like, a little bit of money, can't do this, and tell them their pills are, like, $600. And knowing they can't pay that and knowing that they need this stuff, it sucked. So
don't
blame
Taylor. Blame America, okay?
No, it was one of them things.
Blame,
like,
the system, brother.
It wouldn't be like they were blaming you. Some of them would be super pissed at you, but it was like, I understand why you're mad. Yeah. Like, and honestly, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm going to tell you to go through this process and do this and call them and tell them this and give them this number. We know it's not going to work, though. So,
like, you should have just had that guy from the commercials on call. So if the patient or whoever ever got mad at you guys, you're like, you know what? Talk to this guy.
We've never seen that dude ever again either. So, you know, Everest closed. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Congrats to him for booking the commercial.
Yeah, he lives in infamy. That dude, you know, forever.
Oh, he's selling insurance.
So shout out to him, because I guess it kind of worked. You know, between him and those Apollo College commercials, damn, they hooked me.
Apollo, Everest, DeVry,
yeah.
Didn't ITT Tech close?
Yeah,
they did.
They thankfully, nurses, because this was like the only legitimate program allegedly they were running, nurses got to go finish, I think, either at Concordia or a local school, helped nurses go finish their degree that were like pretty close to getting it done. But
my cousin
a lot of people
actually
got screwed.
Yeah, they did. My cousin actually did the tech part of it and everything, and did pretty well afterwards after he got out. So I know it worked. The programs actually, if they have their, sounds crazy, the stupid jingles, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, like,
ITT was real.
They're pretty legit.
The rest were.
Le Cordon Bleu.
Well, that one, if you wanted to go be a chef.
The chef.
You ever been to dinner there or something like that? They used to serve like you can make a reservation and go have like a 4-course meal with all the students that were cooking and stuff like that. So
what?
it was dope.
The fact that they called it Le Cordon Bleu, though, made people think that it was associated with the real school of Cordon Bleu.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing either.
Yeah.
I thought they were just trying to make it sound like fancier than it actually was, which technically that's what they were doing.
That's
they were
trying to associate themselves. It's like you.
It kind of worked.
Saying that you're
Le
like,
Cordon Bleu.
You're like trying to copy like the Bellagio's name and say, oh yeah, I'm loosely associated with the casino. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of casinos, I want to get into that a little bit more, because Rashad might be familiar with what I want to talk about, being that he lived in Vegas for a while, and then get into some of the madness of college basketball, do some NFL stuff, and we'll see how far the show will take us. On Sports Sunday. That should be made into the song, right?
Yeah. Or
mark that right there. Beautiful. Let's get into it. My observations from a Friday at A for Fan Madness. Get into that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
During the break, I went back and watched that Everest College commercial. God, that guy is really not happy with you.
Yeah, he really was, man. I think he's mad that he had to go to school and we got to chill.
He's just pissed.
Yeah.
Look, I'm happy. Why are you asking?
You get to be home and I got to be here. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come over here, too.
The look of disgust at the end of it, just like.
It's easy.
It's easy.
He walked away like, moron.
Rolling how far the show will take us. On Sports Sunday.
That's it.
Beautiful.
That's the one. That's the one.
Just beautiful. So Friday, as mentioned in the first segment, went up to A&A. Did not place any sports tickets. The cheese curd showed up and I got distracted, you know.
That's usually how it goes. Something when you get fried cheese shows up, conversation's over.
Fried cheese curd, some tachos show up in front of me. I don't think I'm going to get to the booth to place a ticket. So no sports betting. Did some blackjack, did well. And I don't know about you, Rashad. I find the casino life, like casino guy, a very interesting lifestyle choice. Like they, up at Alinea, they have, you know, the restaurants, but then they have a food cart or food court like plaza area. Cart. Yeah, the court, rather.
It's got like three or four options. Cheaper, fair.
Yes, yes. So like I went there before we left, and then I like saw just one guy in there, you know, sitting down, eating his burger or pizza or whatever the hell he was doing. But I mean, he was just by himself. And I understand like being there for March Madness, but I just felt, I was like, what a lifestyle. Like that you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to the casino by myself. Just, you know, go to the food court, watch a couple games, hit the tables for a bit. And just, you know, that's what I like to do to kill time. I said, and it just kind of blew my mind, I guess. Hey, if you're a single male and you're near the Ridgefield, Alinea area, do you, boo-boo. But it was very, it was an observation I made where I was like, man, that is a life that I am not familiar with, where it's like going to the casino just by yourself and going to stack like at the food court.
It seems like a team sport, right? You go to the casino, yes. And that's something we do together. Like, I don't think I've ever been, unless I'm going to a restaurant or I'm going to meet someone, like, I've never gone to a casino just alone. I guess there are some reasons to, like, do it, like, Maybe the guy is having a bad day, you know, or some stuff and just needed to blow off some steam or didn't want to. Maybe something happened. Maybe if he was older gentleman,
probably around your age, I would say.
Okay,
because you're you're almost like 10 years older than me, I want
to
say.
So right around that age to where the homies flake, and so you get there. What's up, man? Oh, can't make it. Got to stay with the kids, or the wife is doing this, or okay. So you've made the trip
lied
out there.
And I actually could have never made it. Actually, yeah. I just didn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Happens more often than you think.
So yes, exactly. So now I'm out there and I look like a jackass because you know my friends decided they didn't want to come today, and so that's another reason. You know, or you know, maybe just going through something. But when you're a regular by yourself, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I think gambling is one of those things. And
snacking on some chow mein at the food court while about to hit the blackjack tables, and I'll be here Monday to do it again.
The only time you should be gambling by yourself is if you're at a restaurant that has a machine or something like that, and then you'll play the keno or something.
The video poker.
You play something like that. They're placing bets on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's cool. But if you're going to the blackjack table every day, or not every day, but just every time you go to the casino and you're just kind of by yourself, that is a little weird.
I mean, if you went once or like twice every 2 or 3 months, or like you went like once a month on your own, and instead of like you're going to the Costco to get away from your family, you say, hey, you know what? For a couple hours, I'm going to go treat myself. Yeah. I'm going to play some blackjack. Like, I can
cool.
see that, but that's 40-year-old guy as opposed to 80-year-old guy, which you're wondering. Honestly, when I look at that, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I hope that I still have my wife when I'm your age, because I'm not sure what I'd do, frankly. That's the only thing I think.
And I don't know if it was more so just, like, the food court in the casino, too. Like, I'm not a well-traveled man. The only casinos I have been to are Alinea and then the ones I went in Vegas, but that was so long ago. And it was more so just, like, walking around. It's not like I was really... I couldn't gamble at the age I was at. So it was just very like, hey, let's just go and hotel see. To yeah. hotel, check it all out. And, you know, but yeah, the idea of like a mall-esque food court in a casino, like over at Alinea, they got the Michael Jordan Steakhouse and they got the Rockin' Brews and they've got all these different things. And then the food court is what threw me off. I just was not expecting that vibe.
It's pretty standard.
In a
like, so I worked at the Venetian and also worked at Caesar's Palace for a while. And there is obviously the really kind of upscale restaurants and things they have there. And then
like,
the,
come get some Sbarro table.
But then you get to a point where you'll find the Sbarro and you'll find the Panda Express and you'll find all those like maybe three or four, you know, smaller things that people
that's how
can
you know the night
to.
Is not going well at the tables or at the machines.
Yeah,
you got...
let's get to Panda Express. You
there's
know?
Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong when you're staying at like the MGM
hot dog
Grand.
On a stick ASAP.
Hey,
go.
Hot dog on a stick. Yeah. Give me some taco time. Yeah. Like some Schlotsky's Deli.
I need Aunt Annie's.
Schlotsky's. Oh, there you go.
There is nothing wrong when you're putting up, because there is no way to do Vegas cheap now. Drinks are $30. The cheap
fast
hotels have disappearing. Exactly. So now, essentially, you're left with finding these food court options, which I will say I like better than like a buffet at a casino. I went to the MGM Grand right before the pandemic. They had a nice, like, you know, selection of really good restaurants, but then also something a little bit better for the budget in a nice food court area. And these local casinos now, they all used to have buffets even before Alinea got built. They've decided, no, we're not going to do it. It's just an antiquated style of casino. It's really catering to the 70 and 80 year olds only.
No.
The food courts are more for our crowd.
Oh, and boy.
I appreciate the food court, though. I appreciate
too.
It because if it weren't there, then that means I got to go pay that $100 at Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
I can't eat that every night.
Or I got to go to the whatever the Japanese place is there, which all very good food, but can be kind of spendy. And maybe my budget doesn't call for this tomahawk steak tonight.
But boy, do I want it.
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, it's just one of those things. So I appreciate the food court.
Boy,
yeah.
And I will say the demographic difference in between different areas of the casino, too. Like, the people that are playing the slots machines, a lot different than the people that are over at the sports books and that are playing the table games. Like, that
everything is very age appropriate, you know, when you get there, as far as you can
I
tell
like
what
the slots, they're colorful and
yeah,
bright.
Ding, ding, ding. And I guess there's like a
I like the noises it makes.
There's a science term for it. Forgive me, I'm not that smart. But, you know, basically you get like a lot of all the feels from the sounds and everything that it makes.
It's an orgasmic experience.
Not orgasmic, but like it's something, trigger something in your brain that says like, gotta keep doing this, gotta keep playing. Like, yeah, so those bells and whistles that those slot machines make, that's why old people and everything love them. I can put in pennies. I can put in quarters. What? I can play this all night?
It, okay. Dude, it
is right up their alley.
It is wild how many slot machines were in that bitch. Like, also,
it's all slot machines. If you think about it, it's mostly slots and then some tables.
Because usually when, you know, if you've been to Alinea and seen the sports book, like basically when you walk in, you just need to hang a quick left and walk a little bit and it's just right off to the left hand side. You don't really have to go through the hotel to get to it. And so at one point I was done playing blackjack and I was like, all right, let me go find sales bro Kurt and a couple other people and see where they're at. So I just started walking around seeing if I could like find them without having to call.
Good luck.
Not possible. Yes. I ended up just getting lost in just a sea of slots. It was like ridiculous.
So it's honestly, it's why I'm glad a lot of my friends are tall and they're black as well. And so when I'm at Alinea, they're much easier for me.
It's like
to
being
look
a white guy
find.
In a foreign country.
Like, it's just one of those things. Like, you know,
there
kinda,
he is.
Kind of
hey.
Stand out. Seriously, there
it's
he is. He's over there through a sea of people. Yeah. And being that I'm 6'3", like through a sea of people,
that
like,
helps.
Oh, there he goes.
But yeah, see, if you're friends with a bunch of tall bros, it does help.
Yeah, it definitely helps that most of my friends are tall. You know, very few of them are like short or like 5'10".
When we're hanging out next time, you'll lose me very easily in the crowd. I'll tell you that.
Man, we went to the game the other day and lost Jordan. Went Jordan with the bathrooms.
Hey,
how did Jordan go?
Hey, I'm right here.
It's like, oh shoot, there he is. What's up, man?
It was a great time at Alinea. Food and drink were had.
I'm jealous, man.
It was a good time at the blackjack table.
I'm jealous.
Stop rubbing
too.
Rubbing it in, okay? Like, I get it.
I had
fun.
I had a great comeback story. I was down to my last dirty dollar.
I was gonna ask if you won.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we came back and we came back hard. Like, it was getting to a point where I'm like, dude, this ain't looking good. And the key, Rashad, was playing those little bonus bets that they have.
Mm-hmm.
The match up, match down. That got me back in it.
That's what's up.
It got me back.
Go.
One of them was like the dealer got blackjack, but because I had double aces and I did the match up or match down, I still ended up winning in that hand of being able to match their ace that the dealer had in their hand.
True, man.
And so
the light shined on you that day.
One of my best like moments of the day was when the dealer got blackjack. And then I ended up still winning and getting money for it. It was fantastic.
It's almost like Baccarat. Wow, good for
you,
buddy.
I was very happy. Baccarat is something that has been tickling my fancy lately, too. I've never played, but I've watched a few more videos on how to play Baccarat and how that game goes. And I was like, that might be something Daddy dabbles in. in the future here.
I mean, they had like 8 or 9 baccarat tables there. So next time we go to Alinea, it's an option. I've gotten into Pai Gow lately, but more so Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
My buddy was telling me that Pai Gow is one of the best games, easiest games to make money. And he's like, more often than not, you push. And I was like, you know, it's all about losing less.
Well, it's a perfect drinking game. You can sit for 2-3 hours and, you know, not really have too much money move. That's the nice thing about Pai Gow.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He was saying he could have been at the Pai Gow table last time he went for like 8 hours.
Exactly.
Stick to the crap table. Do some roulette.
I don't know if they still do free drinks on the floor in Vegas, but that's a perfect way. Like, you know, you're sitting at slots, like, but you're still losing money. But like Pai Gow, you're pushing a lot. That's a much better way to drink for free. So,
all right, well, let's get to the madness now. I just again going to the casino. It's my annual casino trip. My sister and brother-in-law, they live out in Willamina, near Spirit Mountain. So I probably should be going there a little bit more. But again,
you should probably make your way back to Vegas at some point. You actually are, you're a, I don't want to say an avid gambler, but you do play, when you do go to the casino, you play enough. So I think it might be time for you to really take that grown-up trip for you to Vegas, which is a super cheap flight from Portland. Not super cheap, but it's cheap enough from Portland to Vegas. $250.
You can get it for like, you know, 15,000-20,000 miles or points now.
Yeah. All Spirit Airlines, that bitch.
Spirit, for 2 hours. Listen, if you're flying from here to Florida, probably don't want to fly Spirit. But for 2 hours from here to L.A., from here to Vegas, you can handle it.
Jump on the big yellow bus.
Seriously.
All right, get to the madness next here on Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with Sports Center Update.
Oh, it's a beautiful mess, the March Madness.
It always is, man.
Man, this is such a captivating moment in sports, March Madness, where you could literally give two S's for the majority of the basketball season, and then this time of year comes around and you are just locked.
Changes your life. All of a sudden.
Last 3 days, and including today, it's all that matters is March Madness.
Yeah. People plan to like get vasectomies this time of year just to not go to work.
I remember
Thursday and Friday, like,
hell yeah.
It's that deep.
I don't know what the clinic is named, but there's one down in Eugene that had amazing radio spots back when I was in college, and it was like an announcer guy's like, guys, now's the time for you to step into the game. March Madness Snip City Special. Come get 2-for-1 or something like that. Like, that's the way great. That the dude was hyping it up, too. Like,
that's pretty.
It was, dude.
Bring your buddy in. You both get 25% off.
Dude,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, bud. What are you doing this week, man? You thinking about getting a vasectomy, just to watch the first couple days of March Madness. You in?
I will say, though, that I don't know if this is just a personal feeling or if this is like how it was. March Madness a bigger deal like 15 years ago? Because I feel like, and I haven't talked to my son, but when I was in middle school, the Thursday and Friday of March Madness, it was like a thing at school where even the teachers would have the games up on their screen or on a TV in the classroom. In the gym, there would be a projector going all day that was airing games. So like if you wanted to just stop, like it's awesome. Didn't really seem like anybody was getting anything done, even when it came to the schools and the school system. And it was like, oh no, we like the teacher, like, we know what this is. This is like we're doing brackets in the classroom with the teachers. And like my son, he just turned 12. He knows of March Madness, but the idea of like filling out a bracket and paying attention to college basketball, and this could just be a college basketball thing in general, is like, I loved watching college basketball at his age. I loved watching the tournament. And to him, it is such like an afterthought. So again, I don't know if this was more so a society at large, and our love of college basketball has, you know, waned a little bit, and that less people care about it than before. Because yeah, it's just the kind of the feeling or things that I've been seeing in my own direct personal life where it's like, I love it. I mean, I didn't even do a bracket this year.
Then that's what I was about to say. Like, we've gotten to a point to where we don't do brackets and it's like, oh damn, we didn't even do a bracket. Like it's one of those things that's not as important anymore. I mean, and we know why, and we want to make this a whole college basketball segment about why it sucks now, nobody's watching, but you know, it's hard to get behind kids that you don't know and teams that, you know, you don't know anything about. And so it's, I think at this point they've kind of, it's been so overhyped and, you know, it's so overpublicized and so overly promoted at this point to where it's like, I don't really care. Wendy's does the thing now to where they're the college basketball, like fast food, you know, all of a sudden.
My observation from commercials and stuff on our other random note is, have you ever seen anyone drink a Coke Zero before? Because, man, college sports.
Everybody drinks Coke
Everyone drinks Coke Zero. I was like, I have never seen anybody
Coke.
Ask at a restaurant, do you have Coke Zero by chance?
I'm that guy now, guys, unfortunately.
Like, so you go Zero instead of Diet?
I just go Zero. Like, man, if you have
tastes
it,
a little
awesome.
Better.
Yeah, if you have it, awesome. But no, you're right. It's a bunch of products that college students are definitely not drinking. You know, they might drink the now. If it was a Gatorade Zero commercial, I'd be like, okay, like I could see kids,
Pedialyte,
drinking that. Like, yeah,
no college students are drinking diet soda to begin with, or
at
anything
all,
like that either.
At all, so it's they're marketing to us, to older people, because we're who care about the bracket, and or if you're a college student or if you're a gambler, that's really who cares about the brackets. It's cool when like a school does them and stuff like that, like the staff or a teacher will give their kids brackets to fill out and everything. Like, that's cool. You can make it cool. I wasn't lucky enough to have college basketball or March Madness be a part of our high school experience. Like, no one cared. Get back to class, you know, at that point. And I was in high school, college basketball was like college basketball. There were names and stars and Dunleavy and the Duke teams with Shane Battier and all those guys. Like, those were my high school,
exactly,
you know, experiences as far as March Madness. But it wasn't until we got older and filling out brackets became like a thing. And I want to say that was probably like mid 2000s, to where it was like, okay, now like filling out the bracket for everybody is like it's like this pop culture phenomenon now that we all kind of have to do once a year.
I just want to know, like, what's if there is any studies done with the Gen Zers, the millennial crowd, like
the young kids.
You know, again, is college basketball, is March Madness a thing to them? Do they care about it at all? Is it as relevant to them as it at least was to me in my childhood,
you know,
and growing up in my teenage years?
I'm gonna answer that and say not for everybody. So I have a beautiful stepdaughter who is a sophomore at U of O right now. So U of O, obviously, huge football school. Basketball team in the tournament, 5 seed, you know what I mean? So
they play today, they right play here on 1080 The Fan, your home of the Oregon Ducks.
So there you go. But I asked her about it, and she was like, eh. Mind you, she's a hooper. She plays basketball in high school. She even plays for, like, intramurals. She played in the championship game for intramurals at Oregon. So she likes basketball, but it just has friends that play on the team. Who cares? Like, it's one of those things. Like, this generation, too, like, they can't see it in 10 seconds, in 3 minutes, they don't care. Moving on.
It's not quite
moving
TikTok
on. Yet. So they don't really, you know, stick around long enough to watch a development. Unless your school is great, and Oregon was great at football, basketball. She was like, don't really. Doesn't move me as much. If it's between going to this party and going to this game, going to this party back at home here in Portland, going to this game, I'm probably going to go back home.
It's not the TikTok generation friendly kind of content, unfortunately. But I will say, like, when we were kids, I still remember, God, I was like 13, 14. It was a stupid decision to schedule like a school concert for choir and band on the Thursday for March Madness. So, like, they started it on the 20th that year. Like, why did we do this? And I'll never forget us sitting ready to go to the concert, like, with all of our TVs on. Everybody was watching those games. I do feel like people cared at that point, but it was more because maybe it was a local angle, and that included, like, a team of guys, like, for the Oregon Ducks, the Lukes, Luke Ridenour, Luke Jackson, that you could kind of care about.
Freddie,
you know,
Jones.
Fred Jones, exactly. There were these group of, like, Chris Christopherson. They were around for 4 years. You could get behind a team. You could build that fandom, kind of like you're talking about with Oregon being a football school. At one point, here locally, they filled up the pit. Like, it was hard to get a ticket to an Oregon basketball game, and I think you were able to, with those local fan bases, kind of take that interest into the tournament. And I'll never forget, as a kid on a camping trip, watching Oregon make the Elite Eight, you know, facing off against Duke and losing eventually, I think in 03 or 04 was what it was. But still, those memories, like, took me into being an adult as a college basketball fan, I guess. the interest for the tournament is still there, but maybe all of our interest in the regular season has waned. Yeah. So, because as a kid, I watched a lot more regular season college for basketball than I have now.
For sure. Duke, North Carolina came on. I have to watch this game. Like, this is going to be, that was Yankees, Red Sox. Like, there's no way, even if, I don't watch baseball like that, but if Yankees, Red Sox is on, I'm going to watch this game. Like, I have to. Like, so it's one of those things. Now I just don't feel that way about college. And I think it's kind of my stepson. He's a freshman, a phenomenal athlete, football, basketball, whatever. Like, he's awesome. This college is probably going to be free for him, you know, at some point. I asked him, did you do it? You do a bracket? Nah. Why didn't you do a bracket?
They don't compete. Like, they're not. I like putting $20 on a bracket, and that would be the reason why I get interested in it.
Oh, he's a gambler. He's not supposed to, but I'm like, how are you placing bets? He's like, oh, my parlay didn't hit. It's like, what are you talking about? You're 15. What are you talking about? Your parlay didn't hit.
Nothing.
Yeah. Normally 15-year-olds can't get a group together and, you know, get into like a bracket pool for $20. Like, so like I could understand why they're not filling it out. Like, there's some juice for us when we do it. But and if I got nothing attached to it, I probably wouldn't fill one out.
Well, I mean, again, this is where I like, and again, this is just me speaking personally on myself, is when I was in high school, I was doing 3-4 brackets.
Yeah.
A tournament, no scratch on them, just to do it for fun, just so you could see how your bracket did and talk about it with your friends. Nerd. And what? Excuse me?
Huh? What?
Hey, what? I love sports.
I mean, you're also here hosting a sports talk show, Joe, so it makes
sense. Yeah, it makes sense. That's that, you know, I could see that happening. See,
like,
know.
My sister, she probably ain't filling any brackets out, you know, but us, we care.
The dealer at our blackjack table on Friday, she had no idea what March Madness was.
Oh, God.
She was, you know, a middle-aged lady, probably late 40s, early 50s, somewhere around there. But we were talking to her, and she was from Chicago, so she was a Bulls fan. She's a, I don't know if she said if she was a Chiefs fan and or is, whatever, but that she had no idea what March Madness was at all, like that the event even existed. So I had to explain it to her. I was like, and I think this was her first year as a dealer at ALNA during March Madness. So she was just totally confused why it was so busy on this random day in March. And we had to tell her, like, this is, expect this going forward if you're here at ALNA in the future, because this is March Madness. This is what it looks like. It was popping.
There were some oblivious people at the tables too on Thursday. It seemed like there were a lot of older people that just kind of showed up to do their
normal. What the hell is going on?
And they just looked a little overwhelmed.
Pissed off that all these young people are here. Like, well, this is.
No, they were pissed off because they were losing, too.
Oh, that can definitely help.
I watched a lot of people walk away from the table.
I don't want to lose with a bunch of young kids around either.
That's true.
Get into some more of the madness as far as the actual games being played. You can text your thoughts in to the text line 503-864-6326. That is the. It is the nothing text line, actually, right now. Glad I stopped myself.
It's my text line.
It is sponsored by no one, which if you're listening,
yeah,
you could
change that.
You could change that. I would love to have a listener just
possibly
pay.
You.
I would love to have a listener just fork over the money to be,
that would be so
a sponsor.
Cool.
Like,
like adopt the
Greg,
a road.
The Greg text line. Yeah. This is Greg's text line.
You see those highways that are like dedicated to like the Manson family.
Adopt a road, yeah.
Exactly.
It's the deal text line. Line.
Let's do it, deal.
503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6FAN. Get back to the madness here next. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
All right. Round two of the madness commences today.
It is a beautiful mess, though. Like, college basketball is so much fun to consume this time of year. And it's so hilarious that the game is sometimes as messy and disgusting as it is, but still just entertaining as hell. Like the Arkansas-St. John's game yesterday is a perfect example. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. You had two legendary coaches coaching that game, Rick Pitino and John Calipari, which is funny because, you know, that was very, you know, in a sense, nostalgic for me, because when those guys were coaching Louisville and Kentucky, that was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago or so. I forget when Pitino ended up leaving Louisville. But, I mean, having those two coaches going against each other but in different schools this time, that was really fun to watch. And then that game, Arkansas, the 10 seed, actually, ended up beating St. John. So one of the higher seeded teams going down in the second round of the tournament. again, it was such a beautiful mess because it, like, the St. John's fans just going crazy, very passionate.
I'm glad St. John's basketball is back, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
For now.
I mean, they'll take it.
Well, they're not back. I mean, they did lose. I mean, they got
a two seed. I mean, they were as a two seed. Like, that means that you were killing for most of the season.
Are they able to maintain it? You know, we'll see with Patino. I mean, does Patino end up leaving for something bigger down the road? We'll see. But, I mean, St. John's, Big East, you know, fun little program.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, I think St. John's at one point was a huge name in college basketball. Not so much in anything else, but in college basketball, St. John's, at least when I was growing up, was one of those ones.
But I say a beautiful mess because that, I mean, just that game, they combined, I believe it was 4 for 41 from the 3-point land. And I didn't even realize until after the game that that was the case. And I was like, you know what? I would have never guessed it was, you know, yeah, they were throwing up bricks. And then what cracks me up is just the absolute chaos that ensues on rebounds sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like there's just so much slapping and fighting and grabbing and ripping, trying to get a loose ball or a rebound, that it is just, again, just pure chaos. It's just a beautiful mess because you're just, like, it is so frantic.
They let, like, 4 fouls go.
Yes.
Like, whenever that that happens. It's weird. It's like, you touch some guy on the arm when they're shooting. No, but diving for it, I can elbow a guy in the face and they'll let it go.
It is wild.
It's all clean.
And again, yesterday in that St. John, Arkansas game, 4 for 41 from 3, but I still had a great time watching that game.
I mean, it was fun to see the coaches. You're right.
Dude, I mean, it was, again, I enjoyed that game even with the terrible shooting. And then in last night's games, I believe it was the Wisconsin-BYU game and the Gonzaga-Houston game, both of the shots to try and either tie it or win the game, the guy for Wisconsin, he drives right and tries to put up a shot about like 10 feet on the baseline, air ball, like terrible game-winning shot. I was like, oh my God, like that's the best we could do. And then the Gonzaga, quote-unquote, game winner that never was actually, they got, it was just a sloppy mess where they ended up just turning the ball over and not even getting a final shot off, and Houston just stole it, and then they got fouled, and it's like, all right, well, this is over. I want to say there was Thursday, there was another game. I think it was on Thursday because I was watching games at nighttime. It was either UNC Wilmington or the San Diego game. But the team that shot up the final shot, just an ugly, like, but that is the best we can do. And again, it is one of those where it's like these games are so fun and captivating, but then stuff like that happens. You're like, oh my God. That's why it's a beautiful mess to me, because it's very fun and entertaining at other times. You're just like, dear God, what is happening?
It's definitely a mess. I mean, it's college basketball is tough because it is very sloppy. And I think that's the hard part about Washington. You know, if we complain about the NBA and all the 3-point shooting and all the extra dribbling, all the, you know, whatever, college is just kind of like really scattered. Like, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. It's hard to watch. And so I think that's another reason why I'm just kind of take a knee on college basketball for a little bit, because it's tough to get through some of these games because it's very sloppy, because there are a lot of three-pointer shot and not a lot of them made, you know, from a lot of these young teams. So it can be tough. So really the novelty of the tournament is really the only reason I kind of pay attention to it. And if I'm being real, I've only been watching when I'm working out in the morning, like working out. That's when I was watching, you know, the most games. Outside of that, like, I went to work and hadn't seen much, you know. And what I did see, it was like, okay, that was cool. I watched I watched that Clemson McNeese game, that first one. And was like, oh shoot, like what an upset, right? Like, and then to watch them play hard against Purdue, I was like, okay, like I can get behind these small Cinderella schools, you know. But other than that, like, who cares? But you know, let's talk during the Final Four. I don't pay attention as much during the tournament, just because it is still very sloppy until you start getting to those last few, you know, at least 8 teams. The Elite Eight is usually when I start paying more attention to what's
out there. Oh, it's still sloppy, though.
No, it is. But
I can't stand the chaos.
Yeah, at least at this point, like, I can knock out the you know, watching the High Points and watching, you know, Xavier and all those other schools that we know probably aren't going to go very far. At least now we can get to the nitty gritty of it with the Elite Eight. I can go from there.
You brought up High Point again. And I think I saw it on like one of the Barstool things or something like that. Apparently, they have a ice cream truck on campus that is free to students.
Let's go.
Really?
High like Point
like,
U.
Like, it's just a part of, like, the food and, you know, part of your tuition or whatever that it just, you know, they have an ice cream truck going around campus.
That's
and,
dope.
And then they have a steakhouse on campus free to students once a month. So you can go in once a month as a student and go to the steakhouse. Awesome. I don't know what the parameters are, like, you know, $200 limit or, you know, what how
that's
it goes.
Probably like a, there's probably a set list of, like, a menu for those
You
students.
Get the real bad cut of meat. Like
yeah. You know, they give you a nice little 8-ounce steak.
Yeah.
Something like that, 10-ounce steak.
What's, like, the worst cut of meat that you can get as a, like, some grocery outlet like, steak or something?
Yeah, like it's something like a Chuck roast or Chuck
steak. The bottom
like
round is usually the worst cut of
the
steak.
The bottom round.
So, like, there's just no fat on it, and it doesn't have anything to make it, like, less lean. It's just not good.
It's just gristly.
Yeah, no. You know?
Maybe that's what they're giving them for free. Yeah,
I mean, it might be. Steak bites, you know, something like that.
If they're sourced from A-Crop, then, you know.
Hey, man. A-Crop steak bites are goated.
Legendary.
They really are.
Man. They are a solid 2 seed.
I will concur.
And in the Portland food bracket.
That's what we should be doing, the Portland food bracket.
The Portland food and drink bracket, because I know, like, if you were to include drinks, what's the Spanish coffee over at, what's it
Hubers?
Called? Yeah, that would have to be up there. That would maybe be a 1 or 2 seed. I don't know if you can come up with enough. I mean, there's definitely enough meals and food choices to make up 64, but 64, like, iconic Portland foods.
I think probably easier to go 16.
16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like a screen door chicken and waffles.
Jack's chicken.
Jack's chicken.
See, by the look on your face,
is that a sneaky 13?
That's might be a one. That might be a one. You're talking Portland food. That might be that's a one. No,
Jack's
might
chicken.
Be, not might be. It's listen.
I've never heard of this Jack's chicken.
Listen, man. So before you head back home today, are you going to the Blazer game
later today?
Great.
Yeah.
So, go to 9th and Alberta. Go to 9th. It's Alberta Street Market. It's at a store. It's a regular corner store, and they sell chicken wings. Not breasts, not thighs, chicken wings. And JoJo's. That's a 1 seed, bro. You can ask around the community.
See, but again, I feel like that at large, how many people know about Jack's Chicken in the Portland community?
I think most people know.
And the burbs. You got to think of the whites here. I mean, come on.
I mean, we're talking Portland. So, you know, Beaverton, everything don't count. Okay. Beaverton, all that stuff. We're talking Portland Eats. Unfortunately, sorry, Sherwood. Like, at this point, sorry, Wilsonville. You guys don't count.
Oh, right like now. The fried chicken.
Oh, Wilsonville doesn't have any good options anyways, bro.
Well, the fried chicken and JoJo's at Reel 'Em In.
Where?
At Reel 'Em In.
Where's that?
That is off Division. Real divey bar.
Division in
like 24th, something like that. 22nd, I don't know. 24th in Division. But again, it's super divey bar, but I don't know what oil they're cooking that fried chicken in.
Sometimes that's what it be.
And sometimes you have to wait an hour, hour and a half just for the fried chicken. You can be in a dive bar, you know, drinking, hanging out, but to get some chicken itself.
Yeah. Never heard of that place. Never heard of it.
See, I feel like that one is, you know, this is where you and I differ. I am in the hipster flat part of Portland where Reel 'Em In is at. And then Jack's Chicken is the sneaky 12 seed that makes a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 possibly.
Yeah, well, white people took over that neighborhood too, the Jack's Chicken is in. But they left the store there, and so the chicken stands.
All right, we're going to take a break, get to some football stuff. Got some couple news and notes on football. Man, now I'm looking at all these different meals from around the city, and I hungry. I am very hungry now. The cowman guy from Nong's. I mean the what is it? What are they? Damn it! What do they call it with the chicken? They poach the chicken. I want to say, and then there's a sauce. Have you never heard of cowman guy from Nong's?
No,
I have not.
Oh, that's some young guy.
That
hey,
you're an idiot. That is possibly a 1 or 2 seed. Not even kidding. This is world famous.
Okay.
This is a staple of Portland. Nong's Kamun guy. Yeah, I think we'd come up with 64 dishes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we might have to do that sometime before this tournament is over. We're going to have to come up with those foods.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's
we're gonna come up with 16.
If someone else can help us with that,
for sure.
If you can text into the non-sponsored text line 503-864-6326 with our iconic Portland dishes, then please do so. But we take a break. Get back to the program next here on 1080 The Fan.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two of Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. You can catch hour number one wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm also looking for a sponsor for that.
Come on, man.
Give I'm saying that.
What are we doing?
We need to come up with some sort of contest that also needs to be sponsored because we can't do anything unless it makes money.
I mean, Boss Man Jeff was talking that they need to get the company that I'm buying the drinks from, Dutch Brothers, to get as a sponsor on the station. I'm giving them free advertising every time I come.
Every day.
Well, then stop talking about them.
Well, we just know I'm calling out to them like, hey, let's go.
Put a piece of tape
going
over your cup.
God, that does look so funny when they do that on TV, doesn't it?
Hey, man, you gotta pay for that exposure, damn it.
Yeah, but like when they call, like Family Guy did this, when they call M&M's Jim&M's.
Yeah.
It's like, God, stop it.
Yeah, you over there are drinking your Butch Dros.
There you go.
Yeah.
My chocolate mocha-flavored
Butch Dros.
Butch Dros.
Yeah. We got, what is this, Florida UConn on the TV. But let's talk about those Oregon Ducks real quick.
Why not?
We got on the bus back from A&A on Friday at about 7 o'clock. The game got delayed, pushed back a little bit. So
7:26.
Yeah, so my plan was, once we got back, was to head on down to South Waterfront, an establishment down there, to meet up with some of my buddies, fellow Duck fans and alums, to watch the game. And boy, I almost felt like I didn't need to go, because before right when the game started, it was 13-2 Oregon.
Done.
And they were just already running away with it. You know, it's March Madness. You never know what's going to happen as far as a 12 upsetting a 5. In fact, that happened with Colorado State upsetting Memphis in that game. Now, it wasn't much of a upset, because I think Colorado State was actually favored in that game. I think they're a point and a half favorite over Memphis. But, you know, the 12 seeds, sneaky 12, sneaky 13s, they sometimes they pull off the dub. And
ruin
this,
your tournament, ruin your bracket.
This Oregon game was not the case. They, for the second time in a year and a half, the Oregon Ducks absolutely dismantle a Liberty Flames athletic team.
Liberty Biberty.
Which, if you don't know about Liberty and how they're created and who created, it's always fantastic to see them just get absolutely demolished. But gosh, I mean, it was a clinic by the Ducks all night long. But the more fun part is what it sets up later today at 6:40 is just a classic Pac-12 matchup between the Oregon Ducks and the Arizona Wildcats.
Looking forward to that, man. Old school.
Yeah.
Old school.
Again, it's just, you know, you want to talk about nostalgia factor, you know.
From last year.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those in basketball where, conferences aside, that Oregon, Arizona, whenever. I mean, we're a year removed or a year into the new conferences, and right away we're getting a Oregon, Arizona matchup in the tournament. I love it.
No, that's awesome. You know, it, it really is. And it goes to show how, you know, how good the Pac-12 actually was. You know, Arizona with as a four seed, great season, you know, this year. Maybe not as great as they would have liked it to be, but still a solid season. And now you get a chance to go up against what I've kind of always considered, not big brother, you know, but the kind of had been over the last few years. But, you know, so we'll see. This game I would like to watch, but I'll be at the Blazer game, so it'll probably be on once we get back.
Yeah, I'm pulling double duty tonight. I'll be going to the Blazer game. That is at 3 o'clock. Actually going to live in that suite life tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah. Gonna be in the Adidas suite.
Please let me know what the food options are like, how quick it is to get beverages and stuff.
Yeah, I think we were informed that this tonight there will be no catering. So it's like if you want to get your own food, like
So Sprague, if you're listening, he's talking about how the suite life at Moda Center is awesome and how they have food there for you. No, you gotta go down the stairs. Are they giving you a server?
Well, again, I don't know.
Doubt it.
I don't know all butler. This. I think that some suites Declan. You can, I think it's optional.
Okay,
it's,
so you have know, to pay like, for it, but if not, yes. Then you got to go downstairs and you got to spend time. I take
with the vermin, the regular people.
No, it's not the vermin, but I'm missing the game. Peons. I'm taking 15 minutes to try to find a place out of the crappy six selections that there are at Moda. I don't want to get off track here, and I am, and I apologize, but it's just so frustrating to hear that you're living that sweet life, and Moda doesn't really make it very Moda. For you.
I think it is an optional thing where the company or whoever owns a suite can say, we want catering for this game, we want catering for that, okay. We don't want it for this.
I was about to say, because Moda took some steps back, man. When they were the Rose Garden, the 200 God. Level, they had like... If you were in the club level,
yeah, all
like,
the inclusive food.
You got to go and get the all inclusive joint. You got the little wristband. That's not the case anymore. Like they don't do that part anymore. Back. So after I go to the game, I'm going to come back and hopefully watch these Ducks beat up on the Wildcats, man.
It should
so it should be yeah, I think it should be enough time. So this yeah. should be a great game. Like obviously rooting for Oregon, but at this point, man, I'll take any Pac-12 affiliate. I'll take any Pac-12 affiliate to win this tournament or go deep in the tournament.
Like any former Pac-12?
Sure. Keep the nostalgia going for you.
Seriously. I'm rooting for all those teams now.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about Arizona that it does kind of crack me up whenever they lose. So, I mean...
Love Arizona basketball.
I mean, I think that Arizona has an allure of being, the West Coast team, quote-unquote West Coast of the 21st century. Like UCLA obviously has, history upon history.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good little couple of years when it was like the Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook team. Who else?
The national championship team.
Yeah, was it Luke Mbamute on that team as well, or am I crazy? I'd have to go back and look on who was
Jason
on that
Capone.
Roster. But Arizona, there is just kind of a lore about them, but they've always had really good teams and just never get the job done. So it does crack me up whenever they, get really close and then end up losing. Because I'm like,
last time they won, I was in seventh grade. Mike Bibby and Miles Simon and that team.
Their last national championship. Yeah.
They had a good run with like Gilbert Arenas and Richard Jefferson and all those guys at one point.
Again, they always have really good teams. Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it's one seeds or two seeds that they're pulling in, and it's just like, oh, I'm really liking this Arizona team. And then they fall short.
They had a couple Portland greats that even played for Arizona and Salim Stock. Ottemeyer and Chris Rogers. So, always get some Portland ties there. But yeah,
Josh
you're right.
Childress go to Arizona?
Josh Childress went to Arizona.
That was Stanford.
No, Stanford.
Sorry, my bad. God, he was so
Stanford.
Good.
He was nice.
And I remember him playing in the tourney quite a bit back then.
One of the best fros of all time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was
clean,
nice.
Clean fro. It
was super nice. So.
He was also on the cover of ESPN college basketball
college game,
like 2K5.
That was awesome.
Something like
college
that.
Basketball. Let's bring that back. Come on, EA or whomever is making sports games right now. Like bring the college basketball back.
Yeah, I mean they're doing it for football now, so might as well. I mean, honestly, this is another factor where I think that video games play a pretty big role
1,000%
in younger kids and them caring about certain sports.
1,000%
That if they don't have access or they don't play,
a game and get to learn these teams or players or something like that, then they just they don't care.
I think that's how a lot of us, that was kind of our first introduction to really learning lots of players' 100%, names, yep. is playing the video game, yeah. right? Them checking into the game, or you looking at the roster or going through rosters. That's how I was able to learn about a lot of players and where they played. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, I mean, I didn't know Dartmouth was a school until I took them to the national championship on ESPN 2K5 college basketball.
Right.
Ivy running the table with an Ivy League team.
Right.
Let's go, Dartmouth.
Well, and back then, you really, if you like really cared, you had to do some work, but you could get the names on the game. So like NCAA football came with the numbers, you know, with the likeness of that player, but you could get the names. Somebody did the work. Same with college basketball. So it was always fun to do that. But God, never forget. I think it was ESPN 2K5. It was the Ducks basketball team with Ernie Kent was their coach at the time, mm-hmm. but in the game it was some white, like ginger-haired dude.
That's what they do.
It's like really,
Michael Jordan.
We can't even get the likeness of the coach correct.
Yeah, there are certain guys like Bill Belichick has never been on Madden.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like he's the one.
Oh,
coach.
Barry Bonds did.
Yeah, he's the one coach that's never been on Madden.
Well, like, Barry Bonds removed himself from the Players Association and opted out of that, so that's why he wasn't in games for baseball. So I didn't know that about Belichick. Mm-hmm.
I gotta find this list because it's funny that you mentioned the Barry Bonds thing. Is that there was some Japanese video game company that created like this. It was like a football video game, and they had to come up with player names, like American player names,
awesome.
For the game. And the names they came up with are just absolute gold.
Oh, man. If you go through, like, in college football this year, I don't know if you guys played it, but in NCAA this year, but you look at some of these names, it's like,
oh,
bro.
And, the names and who the player looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a straight, like...
You're trolling right now.
Yo, dude. Yeah, Tre'Davious White, and the guy is just white.
Totally white.
Yeah. And it's like, white with cornrows. You're
maybe
like,
fix the AI. Yeah, fix the logic here.
Yeah, it's great. Speaking of the other Duckies, the women's team is in action right now at this very second. They are taking on Duke. Oregon, a 10 seed in the women's bracket right now in the third quarter of the Ducks game. They are losing 36-29. This one is on ESPN, which I'm trying to get pulled up on this damn TV in here, but can't seem to find it. But Lady Ducks right now, or I don't know, they don't like to be referred to as Lady Ducks. I think that's something that college teams, they're not kosher with anymore.
Just call them the Ducks.
Ducks. Yeah, the Ducks in the women's bracket, again, right now losing 36-29 in the third quarter to Duke. Get to some more college basketball, possibly some football stuff. There is actually something in football I want to get to because another quarterback has found a home in the NFL.
Oh, break out the crab legs.
Not the one we thought.
We get to that next year, Football Sunday. Wait, no, Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Oregon Ducks women team in action right now. They are down 41-36. I believe actually make that 43-36 as Duke gets an and one there. Jordan, very, very upset. Very upset in the commercial break.
I am. I can't stand
the whole. He refuses to call them just simply the Oregon Ducks women's team and men's team.
I don't refuse. I just wonder what
that sexist bastard.
Hates women.
Yeah. No, it's
you just told us that during the break, didn't you?
Jeez. I love women. My wife's a woman. My mom's a woman.
I love women.
Like, let's stop that right there.
Chicks, pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't understand the distinguishment and why that's a problem.
Let's bring the rim down to 9 feet, too, huh, Jordan?
If you wanted it to be more entertaining, if you wanted to try to get Angel Reese's wish of saying, hey, we need to be paid as much as the men, well, if you were as entertaining as the men and, you know, had more to watch than just Caitlin Clark, then maybe people would be paying him more, because you're selling out arenas where Caitlin Clark was. And what did the WNBA lose this year? Like $40 to $60 million still? Like, they're still being subsidized.
I mean, they got some money.
I'm not saying they actually don't.
They're losing cash.
Did they really lose that much?
They really did. They lost a ton of money again this year. You can go Google it for sure, but it is just frustrating.
No, you're making the claim. You Google it.
I will go Google it. It is just frustrating to me that that's basically where this argument comes from, is wanting it to be all equalized. But when I'm referring to different types of basketball being played, this is men's and women's. It's types being different just by the sexes, we've got to distinguish it somehow.
Well, if I see a duck out on a pond, I don't, and one's a male and one's a female, I don't go, oh, well, that one's a duck, but that one's a lady duck.
It's because they don't have both sexes to me, playing both, a basketball game.
They're both ducks, Jordan.
Oh, my God. WNBA losses 2024.
Well, he's looking that
around
up.
$50 million.
Eh, they'll recoup that.
Expected to lose $50 million in 2024 despite surging attendance and interest. Still doesn't matter.
They'll make it back up. They'll be fine.
Oh, sure.
In football, though, there was another mid-quarterback signing because that it is the season of the mid-quarterbacks or the offseason of the mid-quarterbacks. And as Rashad said before going to break, get your crab legs ready. Get your boil going because it's Jameis time in New York, baby. And this is actually boss man Ryan Cooley's dream. Is he wanted Jameis Winston so that way he can at least have a fun, entertaining 3-14 season for his New York Giants that is then going to set them up for a better quarterback next year. But Jameis Winston going to the New York Giants, which is going to be, you want to talk about college basketball being a beautiful mess. That's a beautiful mess right there.
Oh, the Giants are always entertaining.
The Giants and Jameis Winston.
It's like watching a car wreck like over and over again.
Well, now I believe is now Jameis Winston is the second quarterback on the roster for the Giants. They have Tommy DeVito as well, Tommy Cutlets. So whether they go in the draft and get one more, you know, whether it's Shador or Cam or, you know, Jackson Dart or whatever, or if they just roll into the season with these two, the Giants are essentially waving the white flag on their 2025 season. But again, that just leaves only a couple more teams left wondering what they're going to do with their quarterback situation. And the other one we saw this week was, of course, Aaron Rodgers, a meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's going to get drawn out for as long as possible because, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. But that right now is kind of looking like the only remaining spot left for that team that needs a quarterback. And also, like Russell Wilson, I do find it funny where he's just basically, it's like, yeah, Russ, you know, it was fun having you here, but can you just wait a couple weeks? We got some things to work out and to address.
Some things brewing.
Yeah, you know. So if you could just hold on.
Need you to be patient.
Something tells me that Russell Wilson will not be a Steeler next year.
No.
But yeah, that's at least some of the quarterback news in the NFL. I would not want to be in the Aaron Rodgers business at this point. I'm good. Now, I understand it would be better than some situations quarterback-wise out there, but I'm just, if I'm a team, I'm not getting 33-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I'm not getting prime Aaron Rodgers where he's throwing 40 touchdowns and 5 picks. And at this point, what he is off the field, I'm good. I just don't want to deal with any of it.
Well, this old Aaron Rodgers is still better than what old Ben Roethlisberger was. And old Ben Roethlisberger was, you know, able to still leave you with the winning season, you know. And that's the one thing that we know that this Steelers team is going to do is they're going to go 500 bare minimum, right? That's what they're going to do. Bare minimum, we're going to go 9-8, you know, or somewhere around there. That's the one thing that we know we're going to do. Now you add an Aaron Rodgers. I would assume Aaron Rodgers would be worth one or two wins. Just him being Aaron Rodgers and him, because I mean, he throwing the ball, he still threw pretty well last year. You know, throwing the ball, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers-esque numbers. However, you know, the Jets weren't great for a lot of different reasons that weren't just Aaron Rodgers. He didn't play defense, so they have to figure out a way to explain how bad they were on that end of the ball. So it wasn't all just on Aaron Rodgers, but a good percentage of it was. I do not think that he's going to go to this Pittsburgh team, if he were to go to Pittsburgh, and just think he's going to call the shots. Think he's going to do this Aaron Rodgers stuff
again?
With Mike Tomlin. Not you can do this with Robert Saleh.
Well, then
because he has no ground to stand on, really. But you're not going to come in and tell Mike Tomlin what you're not going to do.
Then retire. Like, you don't really, it's not like Aaron Rodgers at this point really has, he doesn't have a market. Like, there's literally only one team left that would want him at this point, and that's Pittsburgh, unless the Giants still want him too, and just brought in Jameis as like a backup option.
I mean, maybe Tennessee.
I think the Vikings are still looking. Are the Vikings?
No, Vikings have officially said we are not going on the Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
they're gonna. The Vikings are just gonna roll with JJ McCarthy this year, which you know.
That's in retrospect, take your chances.
In retrospect, I thought you know, hey, re-sign Sam Darnold, but and you know that's probably the wasn't the right move for them.
Well, they didn't want to give him. They. I don't know if you heard. They offered him a very short-term deal. It wasn't the 3 years, 100 plus.
And remember what we said. Sam Darnold was. Valued at as on this show we said man I don't see him getting any more than 50 anywhere and
oh I was saying 40
exactly
I but said it, max
but
was
it,
40
but it wasn't anywhere near the number that Seattle gave him and so you know when somebody gives you that type of money you definitely make that move you know so I think JJ McCarthy might be the right you know move if or at least for now if you're the Vikings but again if you're Aaron Rodgers you're going to come and play ball if you're playing for Pittsburgh and you can still considering the moves that Pittsburgh has made over the last little bit, like, hey, like, you could do some stuff with you and DK for a year. I see it going okay, because, again, I don't think he's going to be able to just go to Pittsburgh, if that were the case, and start telling Tomlin and that staff what he's not going to do and what he is going to do. Like, you're going to fall in line or go ahead, and like you said, and retire and walk away.
Also, the thing about the NFL, guys, is it is very fit-based, and I'm not sure what kind of scheme they run. In Pittsburgh, I don't know, you know, if Aaron Rodgers had to learn something new.
Well, the guy got the, what's his name, Arthur Smith, the former Falcons head coach. I think he's still going to be offensive coordinator for them going into
next
year.
I just wonder if his offensive language is the same as Aaron Rodgers, and if not, how quickly Aaron Rodgers could actually come in and learn those terms or how quickly they could simplify it, and that's why you wonder.
Seems like a smart dude.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I agree.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers, you know, give him some ayahuasca, a cave, a weekend. He'll have that playbook down, no problem.
I agree, but an NFL playbook, especially for quarterbacks, is one of the hardest things to memorize in the world. Yeah. I mean, go look at it. Like, smart dudes, like physicists, like, there's a lot of intricacies and different calls that these guys have to make. Like, physicists looking at this book sometimes would be like, holy S. I think Suk has talked about it several times on the air, but... There's New York, too, still an option. I don't think Jameis Winston going to New York precludes the Giants from signing Aaron Rodgers, but basically, yeah, down to three destinations, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and the Giants.
I mean, I don't is Tennessee, I mean, I haven't heard anything about them being interested in Aaron Rodgers. But again, it's like, what are they just going to go quarterback blindly with the number one overall pick just because that's what you're supposed to do? Or, you know, that's what, you know, you have number one pick, you don't have a quarterback, you got to take the best but yeah. Again, is Cam Ward worth it to them? Is Shador worth it for a number one overall pick? Or is it just F it, we're going to take the best player available, whether that be Abdul Carter, who could definitely still go number one? I mean, so maybe you're right, Schultzy, is that the Titans would be interested, like, hey, let's just have him hold us over for a year. And then, you know, we'll address it next year after he retires. But again, if you're Aaron Rodgers, like, you don't, it just doesn't seem to have a whole lot of choices. And so trying to do the whole, I want us to sign this player. I want us to bring Nathaniel Hackett in.
Nope.
You know, I don't
please
think
don't.
He, yeah, please. He's a great family man.
I think you're just going to bring in Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh and, like, you know, you guys are saying, like, do it the Tomlin way or don't do it at all and just ride off into the sun and be done with your career, quite honestly, I think probably is what he should do anyways.
I mean, well, for sure, you know, and I mean, I don't want to say for sure. Let me take that back, because I do think Aaron Rodgers could be a valuable piece to a team that might be just a piece away, you know, and it looks like the Steelers team might just need just a veteran guy for 1 year, 2 years. You tried it with Russ. It didn't go terribly, right? With Russell Wilson, like, it didn't go the way you wanted it to, but it also didn't end on a wet fart, you know. So I think you can insert.
It kind of did,
especially considering the way that they started and everything like that. So it actually kind of did. However,
it might have even touched cloth.
All that said, like, they, you know, they still finished where they finished. And I think that's kind of the magic of Mike Tomlin. That's kind of the magic of the Steelers. And I think if you add an Aaron Rodgers, maybe he's worth two games. And maybe those two games get you into the playoffs, considering, you know, how things are set up now. So I don't know. But, and also, the thing about this draft, as far as Tennessee, like, you could take a quarterback. Like, this is the one draft to where there are three number one picks. the first three guys coming out this draft this year, like they in any other draft, if it was just them, they would be the number one pick. If it was just Cam Ward coming out this year, he would be number one. Just Abdul Carter, he would be number one. So those first three picks, four picks, I don't really think you can go wrong, and that includes my Patriots, as long as they end up with something they can use, yeah, like a Travis Hunter.
Still a lot to go down before the NFL draft. And, I mean, this is one of those moments, too, where it's like if you're Pittsburgh, it's like you might want to get this figured out here soon so you know what you're going into the draft with as far as your quarterback and offense situation. And again, I just would think it would help, and you know,
you're right.
You want to get these moves and everything taken care of first, so that way you can go into the draft and be like, okay, what do we need?
And let's not assume, like you said, that Jameis signing to New York means that that's who New York is going with. They can still mess around in this draft.
I pray that's who they're going with.
No, I mean, yeah,
I hope Jameis Winston is the Giants.
They can still mess around in this draft.
Winston.
They can mess around in this draft, and Shador could fall to them at three if they wanted to go, you know, the route of quarterback. And so we've been hearing all about Jackson Dart and how he's kind of shooting up everybody's draft board. Like, is that a name that we hear earlier than we were expecting, around 7 to 10 or something like that? So New York can definitely make a move. So I don't want to assume that Jameis is going to be their only move, especially for a year.
Yeah, a tinfoil hat really quick. Who's throwing out bad things about Shador Sanders just really wanting them to drop to them? Like, I just wonder, like, is the Shador stuff actually
the Shador
true?
Hate is so weird to me. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, are people just trying to throw some stuff out there hoping he drops to 6 or 7?
Yeah, the Shador stuff is really weird. I'm not a big fan of it, you know. But I will
If
his last name weren't Sanders, then, you know, if his last name were Jones, then we wouldn't care about Shador like that.
Exactly.
But he's probably, as far as a thrower of the football, he's probably the best quarterback in this draft. I mean, seriously, he throws guys open. Like, and I think that we saw Shador make some amazing throws during his time, just from what we saw at Colorado. Some throws that was like, agreed, bro, that was crazy.
I also saw him take some sacks that would make me want to scream, oh my God, get rid of the ball.
Yeah, his throwing motion takes a while.
If I was an NFL coach.
However,
he's got the hero mentality of, yeah, I can make a play happen, where it's just like, sometimes, dude, no, you can't. And just get rid of the damn ball and don't take a 15-yard sack, please.
But sometimes he can. And I think that's what you kind of lean on, is the fact that, man, he can do that, which is crazy.
We got to take a break. Get you updated on some of these March Madness games. But actually, how about Jordan Schultz does that next here with a SportsCenter update? Oregon Ducks women basketball in action currently, fourth quarter against Duke, the Blue Devils.
The Dukies, baby!
It is 49-46, Duke leads. Make it 49-48. Is a vicious cockfight we got going on right now.
Whoa, you can't say that talking about the Lady Ducks.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds
what's
weird.
The problem there?
Sounds weird.
Well, we all know that a cock is a rooster, all right?
It's just, you know.
I mean, what are we doing? Oh, and a big rebound by Oregon. They're going to try and take the lead now. This would be huge.
You can do this.
This would be a huge dub, though. The Lady Ducks. Oh, wait. Excuse me. The Oregon Women's Ducks. or just the Oregon Ducks. They had a couple down years under Graves, and to be back in the tournament this year as a 10 seed to knock off a 2 seed in Duke at Duke, that'd be a huge dub for the program. Be very nice. I wanted to bring this up, though, because we talked about it earlier in the show, how like Barry Bonds in video games, because he was not willing to give his name up. Like, you had some of the baseball video games, he was Wes Mailman. Or John Dowd, or Joe Young, Reggie Stoker was another one of the names on there. Burt Brundage. I had to go and find what it was. There was this game called MLB PA Baseball, but it was also known as Fighting Baseball in Japan. This game, it came out in 1994. But for Fighting Baseball, they had to, I guess, come up with names of players, and so some Japanese guy that worked for the company had to come up with a bunch of fake American names, and here are some of the names that he came up with. Sleeve McDykel.
It's a terrible name, but okay.
Onsen Sweeney.
You said Omsen?
Onsen. O-N-S-O-N Sweeney.
That's stupid.
Daryl Archideld. Anatoly Smorin.
Excuse me?
We couldn't have just
Anatoly.
Said
Anatoly
Frank
Smorin.
Smith.
You know, I've been looking for a girl's name when my wife and I had kids, have kids. I think Anatoly, baby.
Ray McSriff. You had Glenn Allen Mixon. First name, Glenn Allen. You also had Mario it's spelled MCRLWAIN.
Just give them regular last names. Like, McCrellwain?
McCrellwain? Mario McCrellwain. Raul Chamber, Chamgerlain. Raul Chamgerlain was another name.
What's a Chamgerlain?
Chamgerlain. Kevin Nogilny? Tony Smerick? Oh, this is the best one. Bobson Dugnut. I'm going to have to create a player on the show and name him Bobson Dugnut.
I love that.
Willie Dustis? Jerome Gride? Scott Dorick? Sean Furcote, Dean Wessery, Mike Truck. I mean, that's just...
That's solid, I guess.
That's a country name.
That's the best one.
Mike Truck's new his debut album. Nothing comes between me and my Ford.
And my baby, Anatoly.
Dwiggett Rortrigal.
Okay, Dwiggett might be the best.
And I think it was...
They might try to smell Dwight.
I think it is... It's no H. Yeah, it's just Dwight without the H. So Dwiggett Rortrigal.
No, so remember in The Office, that actually happened, and it was a Dwigged?
Yeah.
Oh, Dwigged?
Yeah.
Dwigged Rortrigal.
Yeah, Michael Scott had written a script, and he went through and tried to replace all
Michael
the Dwights
Scarn.
On an auto... Yeah, Michael Scarn, and instead of an auto-replace getting everything, it doesn't really get the misspellings of those words. So one Dwicked left over.
Tim Sandale, Carl Dandleton, Mike Hernandez, and Todd Gonzalez.
Here's the cool part. I'm glad they at least tried, because growing up when you were playing live and they didn't put Michael Jordan's on the game and it just made him player 99 with a box haircut, like
that sucked.
That was dumb. So I'm glad at least baseball tried to give, you know, some names to people, but
Bobson Dugnut. This is like the Key and Peele segment.
Yeah.
Treverius, Desquarius, Navarius.
Le Carpatron, Duke Mario.
Yeah, I would have to say my favorite on this list, either Bobson Dugnut,
Dan Smith.
I mean, Dwiggett Rortrigal is that's a good one as well. Anatoly Smorin, though. Watch out for him.
Mine's is Raul Chamberlain.
The guy's got a cannon right here.
Yeah.
Todd Gonzalez.
Gonzalez.
Bonzalez.
I don't think.
Or Mike Hernandez.
What nationality are these people? Like, what's the point of origin?
You know?
That's a great question. Yeah. Can I have the country of origin, please?
Seriously. Like,
yeah, where's Anatoly Smorin from?
I'm going to guess that's Italian.
It's Italian, yeah.
Is Smorin Italian?
Now, let's play the fun
name?
Game of
maybe
where
Spanish.
Exactly are these people from. Yeah.
Daryl Archideld.
Oh, that's an American. He's from Texas.
His name is Daryl
Archideld.
That's a black dude.
Yeah.
I don't know too many white Daryls.
Raul Chamberlain.
Unless they're over the age of 70.
Yeah.
Where's, Bobson Dugnut. That's about as American as it gets right there.
Bobson Dugnut?
Yeah, Bobson Dugnut.
Dugnut, Dwicked, and Anatoly, Antonelli, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, that's, I feel like I need to ask, like, ChatGPT now, like, hey, take this list of names from this old baseball video game and give me, like, 20 more like it, and just see if it can replicate some just... not real American names.
I mean, I know they're...
Sleeve McDykel. Someone named their child Sleeve.
I know they're trying not to get close in any way, shape, or form to anybody that, like, has that name in baseball, but wow. This is pretty bad.
All right, we're going to wrap the show up next. The Oregon Ducks women's basketball team playing the Duke Blue Devils women's basketball team right now. It's a close one. We wrap things up next year. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right, ChatGPT, I put it to work.
Oh, yes.
I gave them the list of the names from that Japanese baseball game and said, make me more American names that are fake and don't make sense. And they came back with... Darnell Crudge.
Crudge. Okay.
Sounds real.
Wes Tangleton.
Does not sound real.
Tangleton?
Kip Brungus.
Kip
Brungus.
I like Kip.
Tanner Jorbins. You also got Chet Luggins.
Chet Luggins.
I feel like that is real, though.
That's a fullback if I've ever
heard
of
it. It really is.
There.
Royce McFlon, Dirk Sandripple, Brock Humberson, Jody Quimble, Clancy, just the name Clancy kills me. Clancy Rortudge, Vern Drotsky. That's a hockey name,
Vern
right
Drotsky
there.
For sure.
Here comes Drotsky over the blue line, shoots, scores.
Or a catcher.
Great.
Drotsky does it again.
He's definitely a catcher or something like that if he's not playing hockey.
Mick Blorple,
bowler.
Blorple.
Bowler.
Who do you think
bowler.
You are? Yeah. I am.
Randy Snarbuckle, and then Colton Threek.
Colton what?
Threek.
Threek.
Lacrosse.
Definitely with a name like Colton.
Yeah, you're a lacrosse player.
I knew a lot of Coltons at in Sherwood High School, and they all played lacrosse, it seemed like. Duke, right now, separating themselves in the final seconds against Oregon Ducks women's basketball team. 58-51 is the lead for Duke now. Rashad, you are going to the Blazer game tonight?
I am.
I'm going to the Blazer game tonight as well. And what did I say to you in the commercial break? I was like, hey, they're playing the Boston Celtics. I mean, hopefully everybody is playing. And you go, well, who wouldn't play? I'm like, well, you know how the NBA goes. Like, it's just you don't know if the stars
it's a rest night.
The stars are going to play. You don't know what's going to happen.
Load management.
And sure enough,
superstars.
I jump on Twitter. I jump on X. This is from Noah Dalzell, a WNBA and Celtics writer, blogger, whatever. She said that for the Celtics tonight, Jaylen Brown will be out. Jrue Holiday is questionable. Kristaps Porzingis is questionable. And Jason Tatum is questionable. So, sweet.
Jeez, man, I'd be pissed if I were going. Jaylen Brown's my favorite Celtic.
Well, I would just like to see, I don't know, an NBA team at full health, you know?
I feel like you shouldn't be able to, unless you're really hurt, I feel like you shouldn't be able to, if you only play a team twice, and especially if you are going to their house on the West Coast, like, I don't think unless you're legitimately hurt that you should be able to sit out this game.
Yeah,
I
mean, so the Celtics tweeted it out last night, too. But yeah, Jaylen Brown out, and then questionable for Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, and Jason Tatum. So,
jerks.
I mean, might not. This might be another Peyton Pritchard performance.
They better shut his ass down tonight.
He might
There's
get
no
another...
way Peyton Pritchard should have 50 on you again tonight.
Well, why not? Let him have 50. I'd be cool with the Peyton Pritchard 50 burger in his hometown.
No, I don't want to see it. He already gave you one of those against his hometown. We don't have to see two.
Could you imagine if the league had, like, physicians in every city ready to inspect, like, every guy on the roster? Because, Rashad, I know you're talking about, like, guys shouldn't be able to, like, miss time if they're truly not
injured.
This is
an expensive ticket for a lot of people,
it is.
Man.
And,
like,
and,
so.
And I agree with you, but then you start to wonder how the enforcement of that would happen, and I think, well, you gotta have them inspected probably before every game,
or
right?
Or just have the team, that team's doctor, you know,
and if they're caught lying.
Like the other team's doctor?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, an NBA doctor, so a league doctor in each city, and if a team is caught lying, then not just a fine, but like significant implications, and this isn't like in the CBA, we're not talking about maybe necessarily the player, we're talking about the team. There are ways for the NBA to get around this, and they just won't. So, but I it might be a little Orwellian or 1984 like, but yeah, if you're just having the guys go through a physical before every game, you'd really know if they're actually injured or not.
Especially
but we
just
won't.
The one, the injured one. So I'm like, all right, man. So feel bad for anybody that really paid a lot of money, or Boston's their favorite team, and you've been waiting all season for them to come, and then you get here and they. Oh, yeah, I'm decided I didn't want to play tonight just because it's Portland. Like, if Portland were a playoff team right now, there's no way these guys would be sitting out.
Well, you should be happy about this, Rashad, because you want to see the Blazers get wins and make the play-in and then make the playoffs and go and win an NBA championship.
Hey, man,
they're
playing like they want it to. They're playing like they want it. Last week, Jordan and I went to the game, and I told Jordan, this game will show us a lot about how the rest of the Blazers season will go. Or how
this
they want
game
to go.
Against the Toronto Raptors.
No, seriously. We're
playing for nothing.
Because it's easy
this
to go out there.
This will determine what this team looks like.
At that point, you'd already lost like 5 or 6 or 6 or 7 of or whatever it was at that point. Things were not going well. So Toronto was a team that was like today, without most of their star players, with the exception of Scottie Barnes. This is a game that they should win because they have more talent. If they don't win, it's because they're like, we're punting on the season. It's over at this point. And then they came out and won that one. And then they won the next one. Then they won the next one. And it's like, okay, so they're actually actively trying to win games now. Okay.
Well, it also helps when you play, you know, some of these really good teams and,
Nobody plays.
Memphis Grizzlies, no Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Denver Nuggets, no Nikola Jokic. And now you're going to get the Celtics tonight with possibly 3 to 5 starters out. Like, yeah. That's,
yeah. So, well, I mean, it's good for the Blazers if that's what they're gunning for at this point, and it looks like they kind of are, but...
But but beating teams without their stars and using that as an excuse insulting. To say this development is happening like we want it to.
Oh, no.
That's bullshit. No, and that's what this team's going to do in this offseason, and it's going to suck.
I'll take a play-in loss, though. I'm not tripping.
Oh, we need a play-in loss. Make the play-in, you better not be winning anything to where you get yourself into the playoffs, because then you lose a draft pick and cool.
Yeah, so.
Then we're in a spot where.
Play-in will be fine. Two play-in games will be fine.
Just make sure the second one's a loss.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
All right, that'll do it for us. Maybe I'll see you at the game.
Yeah, man. You're gonna be in the fancy parts, probably not.
Yep, that's what I do. I'm just, big baller life. Affluent life. I can't be seen with the 300 crowd.
Commoners.
Make sure you pick the right time to go walk to get a beer and food. Otherwise, you'll miss half of a quarter.
Again, I mean. If that needs to happen for me to get my Bay's chicken, then I'll do it, all right? Bay's chicken, fantastic, by the way. You got to get it at the location, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, getting it in
I miss that they took away the actual chicken, and now it's just tenders, but it's all good. I digress.
Oh, like on the sandwich?
Yeah.
That's weak.
Yeah, they took away the actual pieces of chicken.
If it's a chicken sandwich, do not just throw chicken tenders on there and tell me it's chicken sandwich. That is not the same.
It's not the same.
That's unacceptable.
Not the same.
All right. Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all out there. Enjoy March Madness.
Yes, and we will be back next week on Sunday at 9 a.m. We will see you then. Peace.
Hey, it's Dusty. Victorico's just dropped new menu items. Restaurant quality, made fresh, and served fast. Plus, they're open late. So whenever hunger hits, Victorico's is ready. Trust me, it's delicious. Visit them in-store or order online at victoricos.com for takeout or delivery.
Searching for the perfect blend of performance and luxury? Look no further than BMW Portland. With an exceptional lineup of new and certified